now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is Today and Tomorrow in Prophecy. In this age of hunger and want, it is encouraging to read the Bible's assurance that the people will neither hunger nor want in His kingdom. Accurately does the Bible prophesy and describe world events of today? What do they say about tomorrow? Is the human race to be destroyed, or will we attain lasting peace and security at last? But first, these programs come from the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine in cooperation with local Bible study classes and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, Ed, conditions in the world are glum, as we all know. Do the Bible prophecies tell us what the future holds for mankind?
Yes, they do. However, the prophecies of the Bible are not for the purpose of satisfying curiosity. Are given to reveal the plan of God for the ultimate blessing of His human family. Few realize it, but actually, the first prophecy of the Bible is recorded in the third chapter of Genesis in the Garden of Eden.
Well, that's interesting. Is it a prophecy of today, or does it apply in the future?
Both. While stated very briefly, it encompasses much of God's plan. This prophecy is a statement made by the Creator to that old serpent, the devil. The Lord said He would put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, and that the seed of the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. Also, that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head.
Ed, that sounds very complicated.
It's really more vague than complicated, Russell. If the Bible gave us no further information than this, we wouldn't have the slightest idea of what it means.
All right, let's start right there. What does it mean, Ed?
Well, all the prophecies of the Bible are related directly or indirectly to God's plan of rescuing man from sin and death and restoring him to health and life here on the earth. The prophecies show that this would be accomplished through one whom Jehovah would send into the world, first to be the redeemer of the human race from death, and later to establish a powerful government through which redeemed man would be restored to life. One of the titles of this great one of prophecy is the Messiah.
What is meant by the seed of the serpent bruising the heel of the seed of the woman?
Well, in this prophecy, the Lord speaks of a great enmity that would exist between these two seeds. The Messiah of the Bible is in reality a messianic company consisting of Jesus and His footstep followers of the present age. The enmity of Satan has been manifested toward these to a very marked degree.
Is that what led to Jesus' crucifixion?
Yes, and to the persecution of Christians throughout the entire age. But Satan has not been able to destroy the seed of promise. A heel would not destroy life, although it is very painful.
But Jesus' life was destroyed.
Yes, that's true, but actually, Jesus voluntarily surrendered His life, dying as man's Redeemer, and God raised His Son from the dead. All His true followers are also raised from the dead in what the Bible describes as the first resurrection, to live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years.
And what will be accomplished by this 1,000-year reign?
In the 20th chapter of Revelation, we're told that the reign of Christ will result first in the binding of that old serpent, the devil, called Satan, after the 1,000 years, he will then be destroyed. During that 1,000 years, the dead will be restored to life, and death also will be destroyed.
A very comprehensive prophecy, and thank you, Ed.
And all the remaining promises and prophecies of the Bible simply fill in the details. For example, the promised coming of the Messiah is shown to comprise what is often referred to as the first and second advents of Christ.
But Ed, all the details of Jesus' first advent had been prophesied in the Old Testament, I'm told, such as the place of his birth, his death, and his resurrection. Are some of the prophecies pertaining to Christ's second visit or second advent now being fulfilled in human experience?
Yes, very definitely so. At Jesus' first advent, his disciples, knowing of the kingdom promises of the Old Testament, believed that Christ would set up that kingdom immediately. But when they learned that this was not to be, that Jesus was going away and returning later to set up his kingdom, they asked him what would be the sign of his return. It was in answer to this question that Jesus described world tensions and fears of today. One of these prophecies is in Luke chapter 21, and it states that there would be upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and that men's hearts would fail them for fear as they looked ahead to the things coming upon the earth.
Well, that prophecy is true of world conditions today, there is no doubt. As a matter of fact, beginning with 1914 at the outbreak of the First World War, there has been little else but distress of nations with perplexity. And, Ed, that distress has not decreased with the passing of the years. Now, it is a fear that the entire race might be destroyed.
And Jesus foretold that also. In a prophecy recorded in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 21 and 22, he said that at the time of his second visit to earth, there would be a period of great tribulation, a tribulation so great, he said, that unless it was brought to an end, all flesh would be destroyed.
Well, well. That is an accurate preview of the present world situation. You know, Ed, I have heard people say that present world conditions are in no way related to prophecy, that what is happening is simply a matter of history repeating itself. But I am sure there is nothing in past history concerning a time when the destruction of all of us was threatened as it is today.
And that's very true. Actually, the only difference between what Jesus foretold and what our scientists and militarists and others are saying today is that Jesus prophesied it nearly 2,000 years before the wise men of this generation recognized the threatened catastrophe.
Which should give us confidence in the prophecies of the Bible, of course. But, Ed, what about tomorrow? Will man actually destroy himself in this time of great tribulation that you referred to?
No, he won't. Jesus foretold that the tribulation would be brought to a close before that happened. The reason is that the time has come for the setting up of the long-promised kingdom of Christ.
The prophecies relating to Christ's kingdom are then prophecies that refer to the future, refer to tomorrow.
Yes, and they present a very complete viewpoint of what is in store for the family of man under that new government over which Christ will be the head. For instance, the prophet Isaiah wrote that of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end.
Meaning that there will be a worldwide and lasting peace eventually.
Right, and another prophecy states that the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea.
Meaning the end of all superstitions and creedal religious conflicts and persecutions, that the time will come when they won't exist.
That's right. Another prophecy tells that then none shall make them afraid nor molest them. This denotes genuine freedom from fear.
Thank God for that. Tell us some of the other prophecies of tomorrow. I'd like to hear them.
You know, Russell, even when the world is assured of these blessings we have just mentioned, freedom from fear and freedom from war and so forth, there still would be a lot of suffering as a result of sickness and death. But the prophecies of the future assure us that even these evils will be destroyed. The people of tomorrow will not say, "I am sick." The prophet Isaiah tells us that. There shall be no more pain and no more death, says Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Many, many of the wonderful prophecies pertaining to both today and tomorrow are discussed in God and Reason. Russell, please tell our listeners about this enlightening little book and how they may have a free copy.
Thank you, Ed. Friends, God and Reason will be mailed to you free if you request it. The return of the Jewish people to Palestine, the United Nations, the high-speed travel of today, and the threatened destruction of the human race are some of the things foretold in the Bible and discussed in God and Reason. The end of the world is not the destruction of the earth, this little book tells us. There is hope for the unsaved dead. You will see and know your loved ones in the resurrection. Christianity has not failed. These are some of the definite assurances of God and Reason, so send for it now. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, it is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Just ask for God and Reason, and it will be sent to you free through the mail and without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association, in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.